Welcome to the Sportscast, June 5th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube or on iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a review so people can find us a lot easier and we could be placed in the rankings. NBA Finals got off to a 2-0 start by the Golden State Warriors. Game one, Golden State won in overtime. And on game two, the Warriors beat the Cavaliers 122 to the Cavaliers 103. And on the line, we got Ryan Krista. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santiago. It's good to be back talking a little NBA Finals with you.
And we'll get to NHL afterwards. So far, the series has gone up 2-0. Are you surprised, or this is how it's envisioned that it will happen?
Am I surprised? No, but I was hoping the Cavs would steal a game in Oakland here the last couple of games. But, game one was their game. You know, they battled, they played their butts off. You know, they went shot for shot with the Cavs, or just the Warriors, and the unfortunate circumstances that, you know, they missed some opportunities, you know. Things just didn't go their way, and then they just didn't have it in overtime. And then game two, the Warriors, you know, played up to their potential. You know, if they play their best, you know, the Cavs aren't going to, you know, are going to have a hard time playing with them. You know, Steph Curry, you know, especially in the fourth quarter, you know, really closed the door on the Cavs with, you know, his outside shooting, ended up with a, you know, NBA Finals record 9 3-pointers in that game. But, you know, teams are heading back to Cleveland, you know, where the Cavs have played really well this postseason. The Warriors typically don't shoot as well on the road as they do at home, so this could be an opportunity for the Cavs to, you know, get some momentum, you know, and, you know, they got to win both games, I think, in Cleveland to have a chance at the series, but, you know, definitely got to start with game three on Wednesday.
LeBron James had 50 points in game one. And in game two, he had 29 points. Kevin Love had 22. Tristan Thompson had 11. George Hill had 15. And J.R. Smith had 5. Now, that mistake that J.R. Smith did in game one, do you think, I mean, I've heard he's done that before with the Knicks. Do you think they could have won that game if Smith looked up to the scoreboard?
Yeah, he would have given him an opportunity, you know, whenever you get a rebound, you know, and a missed free throw, you have a very good chance of, you know, going right back up just because the natural position of rebounding the ball there. You have 4 seconds, you know, and if he takes a shot, you probably even get a second shot, you know. We'll never know, I guess, you know. If George Hill makes that free throw, you know, you put a lot, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of finishes, which is, you know, the point of one play, and, you know, the 48-minute basketball game is tough, but it was one of the craziest mind-boggling plays I've seen, not just in basketball, but in sports history. You know, I for a professional athlete not to know the situation, and not just in the game, but in NBA Finals, is kind of crazy and ridiculous, but I'm sure, you know, the Cavs as a team, it came down to more than just that one play.
That trade that happened with Cleveland back in, like, the midseason, you know, trade a bunch of the old players out and bring in the young players, none of those trade people that came in to Cleveland hasn't worked out, hasn't panned out. They're all on the bench. Rodney Hood even said that he had to look at videos back when he was in Utah, see how he played. Do you think Cleveland would have been different if they had Dwayne Wade on the roster?
You know, I don't think they'd be in any better shape. You know, I don't think, you know, getting the NBA Finals is still quite an accomplishment. You know, that trade was a couple different trades that made that. And I was excited, you know, they got some pieces, you know, some young pieces. Clarkson's still relatively young. Larry Nance is a great athlete, and I thought he played an amazing game one. You know, it was one of the key factors in keeping the Cavaliers close, you know, in that game. And George Hill, he's never going to be superstar, but, you know, he actually gave him a fighting chance in game two for a while and kept him in it. But, you know, he's not going to be ever a difference maker in a game, that's for sure. And then the Ronnie Hood is just kind of, it's just bizarre. You know, this guy averaged, you know, 17 points a game for the Jazz this year, you know, comes over and for whatever reason, he doesn't find his rhythm. You know, he's can't play defense. You know, it's just kind of, you know, head scratching for sure. There's been several moments when I'm watching this game and I'm saying, you know, if I'm coaching, why am I not playing Tyronn Lue? Because we can, you know, the Cavs can't get a basket here, you know. And you got a, you know, a shot maker on the bench, you know, you got to give him a shot. But, and that, I guess, you know, Tyronn Lue's earned the right to make his own decisions.
Golden State, the box score for game two was Durant had 26 points, McGee had 12, Klay Thompson had 20, Steph Curry had 33, and Sean Livingston had 10. Curry stepped up this game. It's probably his best game this postseason. Do you think Curry might be, if they win it, Curry might get his MVP for the first time in the finals?
Oh, yeah, you know, if things go the way they're going, it's, I think, a slam dunk. You know, he was, you know, he's had a hard time being consistent at the shot since he came back, but, you know, as, you know, I think game six and seven and Houston, against Houston, he started to really, you know, find a little bit of rhythm. But, you know, he definitely, you know, he caught fire in that leading up to game two, you know. And if things don't change, he's definitely going to carry the Warriors to probably a sweep and definitely an MVP.
To the NHL. The Capitals are up 3-1 in the series. They beat the Golden Knights last night 6-2. Do you think the Capitals are going to win this?
You know, the Capitals, you know, with Alex Ovechkin, have been fighting for this moment for years and years and years. And after they lost Game 7 to the Penguins, there's a lot of hockey, you know, writers and, you know, contributors that really thought they were going to break up this whole team, including the Alex Ovechkin, and just say, you know, we got to start fresh. But, you know, the owner and GM, they still believed in what they got, you know, and they, this year, you know, watching the Capitals, there's a different feel to this team. There's a lot more unity to this team. There's, you know, this team fights, you know, they got a little more grit. You can't say that always about the Capitals. They seem, when things go bad, to fall apart. But this team, when their backs against the wall, has come up big in this playoffs, not just against the Knights, but also, you know, they fell behind 3-2 to the Lightning, won the last two games. You know, for many years, they couldn't get the hump, getting over the hump and beating Sidney Crosby and Penguins, and they did that this year. So this team's achieved a lot, you know, as a fan of sports. I hope that, you know, Vegas can steal a couple games here and at least make this interesting. But, you know, in the end, I do think the Capitals will finally hoist that cup that they've been wanting.
Down to college football or MLB draft, Sooners quarterback Murray was chosen number 9 in the Major League Baseball draft. What do you think about that?
This is something I've, you know, it kind of got on my radar about a month ago. And when I first heard about this, you know, some, you know, college, you know, football analyst that caught wind of this, you know, and kind of brought it to the forefront about a month and a half ago. And all signs are pointing to him being more of a late first round pick, you know, early second round. So you're dealing with, you know, $1 to $2 million signing bonus. But now being drafted number 9, this is a whole new story, Santiago. We're looking at up towards about $5 million in the signing bonus for this spot. You know, that's a lot of money to be put on the table if he goes out and plays football. I'm not quite sure if he's got a deal with the A's, he came out right away after the draft and said, you know, he wants to continue playing football, at least this year. He's got 2 years of eligibility left for football, but he definitely wants to play this year. And I don't know if he had talked to the A's, you know, where he made his intentions known to them that if you draft me, I'm still going to play football. You know, the A, you know, representative last night said, you know, we're all on board. We're going to be the biggest Oklahoma football fan. So it seems to me that Kyler Murray right now seems to be wanting to play football, but I'm assuming that one bad injury and that contract's off the table, and he's losing out on a lot of money.
We'll see what happens. And yesterday, San Francisco's 49ers great Dwight Clark dies at age 61, two-time Super Bowl champion. Any memories from him?
You know, most of his prime was well before my football viewership, you know, really started, you know, as a young kid. But, you know, he is, you know, one of the, you know, players in the main, you know, one of the iconic NFL plays, you know, we call it the catch, you know, where Joe Montana basically threw up the ball to the back of the end zone and Dwight Clark comes out of, you know, nowhere and catches the ball for a touchdown against the Cowboys and leads them on to their first Super Bowl championship, you know, first of many with Joe Montana. You know, this is a guy that, you know, in the NFL right now, we only have 7 rounds, but back then he was a 10th round pick. He only had 11 catches in his senior year in college, you know, so he didn't do much before the NFL, but he was a 2-time Pro Bowler, and I believe in 82 he led the NFL in reception. So, you know, been an all-around, you know, ambassador of football, ambassador for, you know, living a full life. You know, a lot of people have many great things to say about Dwight Clark.
And random question, who would you rather take, Jason Elam or Adam Vinatieri?
Well, you know, San Diego, being a Broncos fan, I got to take Jason Elam, right?
Who had more under pressure game-winning kicks?
Well, I mean, Adam Vinatieri has kicked some of the most clutch kicks, they might seem routine, you know, some of the Super Bowl kicks weren't, you know, crazy long, but I think the greatest kick in NFL history was after, you know, the legendary Tuck rule fumble, you know, he had a kick, you know, an extremely long kick in a snowstorm in New England, you know, that thing against the Oakland Raiders, I think that is the greatest kick in NFL history. It's, you know, the circumstances, you know, what it was for, you know, that was kind of like the kick, you know, we have the catch with Dwight Clark, that was to me is the kick, and that kind of was the catalyst starting this Patriots dynasty, you know, if the Raiders win that game, you know, maybe the Patriots never get the, you know, get going, but we'll never know, but in all fairness, you know, Adam Vinatieri will probably go down as the most clutch kicker in NFL history. Obviously, I got much love for Jason Elam and what he meant for the Broncos and Broncos organization for many years. And, you know, he definitely took advantage of that thin Rocky Mountain air for sure.
There you go. I'm an Adam Vinatieri, but Jason Elam is definitely one of the best kickers in history of the NFL, and I hope they don't get rid of the kicking game. There's been rumors about getting rid of kickoffs.
Santiago, what's your first thought when you hear the word Mike Vanderjack?
Mike Vanderjack. I honestly don't know who he is.
He was a famous kicker for the Colts who was one of, you know, I think still the most accurate kicker in NFL history, but he was always known for being the, you know, most unclutch kicker. And kind of, he always kind of spouted his mouth and famously known as the idiot kicker that Peyton Manning refers to in a post-game interview.
Oh, that's quite interesting. And speaking about Peyton Manning, Vinatieri kicked for both Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah. That's the plus of being a kicker. You can really have a long career.
Exactly. So who do you have for tomorrow night, Wednesday, the Warriors at Cleveland Cavaliers? Who takes game 3?
I'm going for the Cavs, Santiago. Maybe for my heart, not my brains, but, you know, I'm not ready for the NBA to be over, and I'm a big LBJ fan, and I hope he comes and brings another great game tomorrow night.
It is a must-win for Cleveland, and if Cleveland if they have to have a chance in the series, they got to win game 3.
Absolutely no doubt about that, Santiago.
And on June 7th, Capitals at the Golden Knights. Will the Golden Knights come back, or will the Caps win their Stanley Cup? trophy.
I think they go back at least for game six in Washington. I think the Vegas Knights win game five.
And there you have it. Ryan, how can people reach you?
Twitter at MadDogReport, 18, and Ryan Krista, you know, always tweeting there, Facebook and some sports knowledge there.
There you go. NFL is coming up in a couple weeks. Mini camps are beginning. NBA is coming to its pivotal, its climax. NHL is getting exciting. And I think the PGA Tour is still going on.
Yeah, you know, in the golf regards, you got the next weekend is the U.S. Open. So see if Tiger can finally get another major victory.
All points, all signs point for Tiger Woods. Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Sounds good. Thanks, San Diego, for having me.